Then the fourth one is not answering sincerely asked questions that one is capable of answering. Okay, so people ask us sincere questions. You know, they really want to know something. They really need to know something, but we don't want to answer them. Okay, and you know, we don't want to answer them because if they have that information, then our own status is going to go down. Yeah, and you find this like in work situations. It can even happen in Dharma situations. I had a friend who was a lawyer, and when they got certain assignments, you know, the first person who got to the library would check out all the books concerning that topic. You know, even they wouldn't read all of them at the same time, because then it would prevent the other people from using them and learning that information. So there's a real, you know, there's a miserliness and a clinging onto information. Yeah? Often you can see this in work situations too. People don't want to share information because if you, you know, show your colleague how to do something well, well, they may get promoted instead of us. You know? Or if we share information, then people are going to know stuff, you know, then the information doesn't belong to us, it's public, and then I can't use it just for my own self. Yeah. So, you know, this is really combating that miserliness in terms of information and knowledge that just wants to cling on to stuff ourselves, because we fear losing out if people have certain knowledge or wisdom or information. Now, if somebody asks a question and it's not a sincere question, for example, somebody is just kind of testing you, you know, instead of, let's say, asking a sincere Dharma question, they're just doing it, you know, and you can tell real clearly, you know, they're just doing it because they want to punch holes and pick flaws and chop things down and be argumentative, then there's no need to answer those kinds of questions. So this is talking about sincerely asked questions where people really want to learn. Okay, it's not talking about when people are just being competitive and cooperative and cynical. Yeah. And then I what do I usually do? Well, I won't engage with them. I won't, you know, when somebody's just being antagonistic like that, I won't engage because it's useless. So, depending on the situation, I might try and say, what are you really trying to say? You know, or I might say that question makes me feel uncomfortable, or, you know, something along that line. It depends very much on the situation. You know, because sometimes people are asking one thing, but what they want to engage on is something else. Yeah, or what the issue is something else. So if you can switch it to what the issue is, or bring forth really, you know, if they're asking a real cynical question, what are they really trying to say when they're asking that?
If I'm worried about it, but I don't want...
Oh, sure. Sure. No, I mean, everything's fair game. But the thing is that, and when people are asking sincerely, everything should be able to be asked and discussed. When people aren't asking sincerely, then it's fruitless because it doesn't help them. Yeah? Unless you can really get into what really the issue is for them. Okay? So it's not a thing of, you know, kind of, well, you don't agree with my viewpoint, so we're not going to talk about that. Okay, you don't want to come across that way, and you don't want to feel that way either.
Mm-hmm. I find myself wanting to
come out of my... Yeah, it probably is an overlap. Yeah, when you're not wanting to answer questions, you know, because of impatience. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely kind of a thing to do with the irritation, the anger thing, you know. But then it's real helpful to remember, you know, this thing about answering questions. And because often it's being generous with our time. Yeah, because sometimes the impatience is because, you know, we feel rushed and I explained it already and why haven't you gotten it right? And, you know, or you should know this, blah, blah, blah. And so, and we don't want to spend the time. or we don't want to spend the energy. Maybe we have the time, but we don't want to spend the energy. Yeah? So it's yeah. And so those times, I think it really helps me to remember, again, very much with my teachers, how they have painstakingly repeated the same thing again and again and again to me, you know, and how they haven't gone on the thing of, why don't you know this already? Didn't I teach this before? But kind of, you know, again and again, really taking that time and care to cultivate and thinking, wow, you know, other people cultivated me in that way. And this, it's only my impatience that's getting in the way here, that's becoming the block. And also remembering the times when I haven't gotten it right after the first explanation either, and when I've forgotten stuff, and just, you know, even in, not even Dharma ways, but just regular ways, when people have had to remind me and explain the thing again to me, because I didn't understand it the first time, or I forgot it, or I spaced out, you know? And just remember, oh yeah, I'm like that too. I'm not always on top of every situation. Yeah. So being generous with our time, being generous with our energy.
You give up. You have patience.
Yeah. Well, they definitely go together. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be generous if you're impatient. Yeah, I think it's real good you brought up with kids too, because that's so important. Yeah, I mean, I really saw that when I was teaching school, that no two kids are the same. And you explain something once, and one kid gets it, and another kid doesn't get it after 10 times, but that's okay. Yeah? Yeah. And if we really, like you said, commitment, if we're committed to kind of helping other people and training them, then we're committed to spend that time with them.
Mm-hmm. So how do I judge if someone's asking me a
sincere question? Okay, the fact that somebody doesn't agree with what we've said doesn't mean that they're insincere. Okay, and I think very often people are quite sincere, you know. They don't agree with us, and they really sincerely want to debate this out. Okay, because they're really sincerely interested in finding out, well, how are you thinking and what is going on here, and maybe you know something that can enrich my viewpoint, maybe I know something that can enrich your viewpoint. So disagreement doesn't mean insincerity, okay? But insincerity is more, the classic example that comes to me, I just remember one time in Delhi, in a marketplace, being stopped by an evangelical Christian from Singapore. And I was trying to buy some flowers in this marketplace to take back to the center, and this guy stopped me, and he just wanted to talk, and he didn't want to listen, he didn't want to discuss, and he would ask these questions but not wait for answers. Or I would, like, start an answer, and he would interrupt and say, it's not really true, and the Bible says, you know? And it just became, you know, kind of, at the beginning I thought he was sincere, and after one or two trying to discuss things, it became evident that he didn't want to listen. He didn't want to really have a discussion.
Mm-hmm. It's phenomenological, not, but it just has to be in such a way that you...
Yeah, I mean, I find that a lot, that sometimes what people ask isn't really what they want to know. And sometimes also I see myself, you know, what I'm asking isn't really what I'm trying to get at. Because I think half the question, and I've figured out, especially when you ask Tibetan lamas questions, you have to know exactly how to get asked the question, otherwise you're not going to get an answer. That to what you're asking, yeah. So learning how to ask the question is half of it.
Why is that?
Because there's a big cultural difference, and you know, I mean, there's a translator, there's a cultural difference. I mean, lots of times I find when I'm giving talks, people will ask a question that's a few minutes long, and then I'll just try and sum it up in like one statement and say, oh, you're asking, to check out if that's what they're asking. And very often the Tibetan translators, they aren't used to how we often ask questions, so they'll give the whole thing and the whole sense of what the person's underlying question is, it doesn't come through because the person didn't explicitly ask it. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, like, I just remember we would ask sometimes in the early days, do Buddhists believe in God? Okay. Now, there is no Tibetan word equivalent for God. So what they translate it as is Wangchuk, which is the Tibetan word for Ishvara, which is one of the Hindu gods. Okay. Yeah, because that was one. Or they asked, well, wait a minute, there is Wangchuk Brahma. I can't remember, but, you know, kind of because the whole idea of there being a supreme being, well, this Hindu god who is a supreme being, well, that's kind of like a Christian god who's a supreme being. They're both supreme beings. They're both in charge of the universe. You know? And so, yeah? And so then the Lama will give this whole answer about why Wangchuk, you know, Ishvara, Brahma, and maybe it's Brahma. Maybe Wangchuk is Brahma. It might be Brahma. The Brahma, you know, is one of the form realm gods who got born there because of their good karma, you know? You know? It doesn't answer the person's question at all. Because they're not they're asking from a completely different cultural viewpoint. I mean, this is what I found, one of the things that really requires, when you want to learn the Dharma, it requires incredible patience, is to really try and figure out how to help your teachers teach you. Yeah? Because, you know, you ask a question and you get an answer to a question that doesn't... It's like a million miles away. Okay, now how can I ask this again that might be more in line with the way they're thinking? And really have the patience to do that. Yeah, because sometimes it requires asking the question several times and then hoping that they don't get impatient with you for asking the question again and again. That's why it's real interesting, these dialogues with His Holiness, when I've been present at these conferences, you know, because very often the people will try and explain to him again what they really meant, and then His Holiness will, he'll listen and catch on. Okay. 5, not accepting invitations from others out of anger, pride, or other negative thoughts. Okay, so let me just go back to the one of answering questions. If somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer to it, tell them you don't know. Yeah, don't make up answers when you don't know the answer, especially in Dharma things. Just say, I don't know. And it's okay not to know. Yeah, and I can check on it for you. Yeah. I mean, it's actually kind of good when those things happen because then it makes us think more. Yeah, so rather than feel embarrassed when we don't know the answer to the question, to really kind of be appreciative to that person for asking it. Okay, so not accepting invitations. So this is, you know, when people out of genuine, sincere, you know, wishing to be with us, invite us someplace, then it's good if we accept, you know, with the idea that by having that contact with them, we can benefit them. Or if they invite us to a meal or something, then they create good karma by generosity. Okay? So this doesn't mean that you have to accept every invitation that's given you. Okay? Because it's perfectly okay if you have something that's more important that you need to do. It's okay to decline invitations. If you're sick, you can decline invitations. If it's dangerous to get there, you know, then you can decline the invitation. There's lots of places people ask you to go where it's dangerous to get to. Yeah? So you can decline. If the person has like a really bad attitude towards you, or if going there would cause discord, or, you know, if there's some kind of good reason for not going, you know, if going there would put you in a situation of having to break your precepts, you know, then it's perfectly all right to decline invitations. So this is particularly with an attitude of miserliness or anger or hostility towards somebody, or pride, you know, thinking I'm too good to be with those people, or, you know, those people slighted me, so I'm not going to go spend time with them now. This is my way of retaliating and getting even, or, you know, oh, I'd much rather sit and watch TV than you know, go and be with these people because they're just going to sit and ask me all these Dharma questions and it's such a drag, and, you know, I'd much rather watch TV. So those kinds of motivations, those are the kinds of things that this precept is getting us to look at. When we turn down invitations out of pride or anger or laziness, okay? But again, we shouldn't misuse this precept to say, oh, well, somebody invited me to this party and, you know, I had actually said I was going to meditate that evening, but I have to keep my vows, you know? So I better go to this party. Okay, so I mean, I think we do have to be quite discriminating about the invitations we accept and reject. So it's really, you know, if there's some kind of benefit and meaning for us to go, then to do that. But if there's more important things, or if going there would be dangerous or called, you know, make discord, then we can, you know, turn down the invitation. Yeah. Well, if it's something, you know, like you know, you need to spend it one day a week with your family because otherwise your family's going to get really upset and the relationships are going to fall apart, you know. And the other 6 days you're going to Dharma, then I think it's perfectly okay. You know, you can turn down an invitation. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we'll leave I think we'll stop that far. We've done 5 of them. So it's really interesting, you know, maybe kind of in the next few days, be real attentive to these 5. Yeah? And really, you know, think about them. And that's what I like about these things, is it really gives you an attitude. You can rethink like a lot of situations that happened in the past. And, oh yeah, that time somebody invited me someplace and I turned them down. What really was my motivation there? Yeah? Was I kind of being angry and nasty, or was it really a genuine thing that I did have something more important to do? Or, you know, well, I didn't answer that person's question. What was really going on there? So I think it can be real helpful, you know, to help us get to know ourselves. Think of situations in the past or situations you might encounter and mull over these guidelines.
What if you know that these people push your button so bad. But if you're going there, you are going to end up getting in a fight.
Yeah. Then I think, you know, it's okay to decline. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're pretty certain that
you're not ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, but then if you decline the invitation, use the time to do some meditation so you can kind of cut down on your buttons. Yeah, Sam, the button's down. Instead of just saying, oh, those people drive me nuts, I'm not going, to really recognize I'm not ready to handle that. It's too intense and I'm likely to lose it and get in a fight and that's going to make them unhappy. So this time I'm going to say no, but I'm going to really try and pinpoint what those issues are for me so that next time, hopefully, I can say yes. Okay, let's sit quietly for 15 minutes.